This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning and welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanesan with Noel Lim and Shazana Mukta in the studio this morning. Right now, though, we're talking a little bit more about the MM2H program.
That's right. So that's why we're running the poll. We're running it because the Ministry of Home Affairs announced this week that the Malaysia My Second Home program will resume in October. And this is more than a year after it was suspended due to the pandemic. However, there will be updated conditions that apply for all applicants, both newcomers and those looking to renew their passes.
Yeah, so participants must now have offshore income of at least 40,000 ringgit a month, and that's a fourfold increase from the previous threshold of 10,000 ringgit. They must also have a fixed deposit of a minimum 1 million ringgit, compared to the previous requirement of only 150,000 to 300,000 ringgit in FD, and really also depending on the age category.
Now, there are currently 57,000 holders of the MM2H passes, including dependents, and the program provides a significant source of revenue for the government. Between 2002 and 2019, it generated a cumulative income of nearly 12 billion ringgit through fee and visa charges, purchase of properties and vehicles, as well as fixed deposits and monthly household expenditures. So that's a bit of the trickle-down effect that we're seeing from that. Will the new rules serve to attract the desired foreign demographic to make Malaysia their second home, or will it push prospective residents to other neighbouring countries? For a reaction to the new guidelines, we have on the line with us Anthony Liu, President of MM2H Consultants Association. Anthony, good morning and thank you for your time. How does the MM2H compare with other foreign resident programs in the region? What are our advantages, and do the new rules tip the balance in favour of our competitors?
Honestly, Malaysia is a strategic company and good for living because of the multicultural climate weather, multi-language, and mix of harmony. So I can say the MM2H program is a good program, and as well as known by many countries as their second home. But with very reasonable terms for previously. But due to this new term, we can say that it's too high requirement and very beyond our expectation, especially for the income, monthly offshore income, and fixed deposit. I think that it will lose advantage compared with our neighbor country.
So, you know, there are only 57,000 holders of the MM2H passes. I can't help but think, you know, we've had this program for really quite long. Why is the number so low?
Yeah, but I think before that is, we can call that is a civil health program. After 2002, then they just changed to the MM2H program. At the beginning, maybe the promotion is not so much, and then you can see that quite low. And after 2010 or 11, then you see that the amount is slightly higher. Then of course, 2014 have this and. M370 cases and something, then it might affect a bit. After that, it will go up again. Then until 2020, then all completely stopped.
And Anthony, let's talk about this then. You mentioned that you think the higher financial thresholds will actually stop people from coming here. But the rationale that the government gave is that they want to attract high net worth individuals. I mean, were the previous income thresholds too low then?
I can't say that it's too low because the program started in 2002, all right? So at that moment, maybe 300,000 is... actually, that time is not 300,000. 2009 changed to 300,000 because there have been minor changes in 2009. So the requirement will be tightened if let's say it's necessary. So I think that time we also need a lot of investors to come in and push up our economy. It's like many investors come in, and then you will see that our economy is push up also, like they bought the property, they for the education, for the medication. Like last time, they have a free tax car, exemption for free tax car. So, but now they already take out. So we will see that the requirement will be tightened, but it's not like jump until 1 million like now. Mm-hmm.
So, Anthony, this is arguably a big blow to some of the existing pass holders when they renew if they don't meet the financial requirement. Any thoughts on what would their possible recourse here be?
Okay, for this part, I think we will discussion with the government first, because I think we have a certain of a retiree, they stay in Malaysia, and they decided to stay until they die also. So I think if, let's say, they have to meet the new requirement, I think that many people will left. As I just read an email just now, someone sent to us that is very disappointed with the new requirement.
The duration of the MM2H pass has been reduced from 10 years to just only 5 years. What's the implication of this move?
Actually, I don't have the idea why the government said like that, because all the applicants have submitted their letter of good conduct and been checked by the PDRM. So I think that this one is already checked by the security team, right? So I think that some of the country, even they do the double verification from the government and in Malaysia also. So if last time we had for 10 years, it's quite attractive, then easier for everyone. Then now becomes a loss, the advantage compared with previous term.
Right. I hear you, Anthony. I hear, and the way you talk about how current pass holders are disappointed with these developments, that they might be forced to leave. But at the same time, there are also concerns from our own citizens that the MM2H program has been an easy loophole to gain PR status in Malaysia. And there are views that conditions should be tightened. So I guess what's your response to that?
No, actually, MM2H participant never can convert into PR. So we don't have this such regulation that we can get a PR. So MM2H is just a social visa pass and it's a long stay visa in Malaysia to stay.
Now, Anthony, we've of course got to talk about the impact of the pandemic, right? Because there are obviously going to be ramifications from that that affect the implementation of the MM2H program. What has the experience been like for foreign residents with homes here at this point?
Okay, as just now I mentioned, most of the foreigner they stay in Malaysia for quite a long time. Some of that is really renewed 2 times, so they already decided in Malaysia. But with this requirement, they also shocked and very feel insecure, because Malaysia can change and not follow the old terms. Because in the previous the approval letter, they will say that they follow the terms. When we do the promotion, we also that when you renew, then it's follow the old terms. But now it seems like different story.
Well, from your perspective as a practitioner and as a consultant advising all your applicants, what needs to be improved in the MM2H program and also the process of application?
Yeah, well, actually, previously, the point is quite active. Working days is few years back. Then after some while, due to some internal technical issue, then it will drag about 4 to 5 months. So this one application is quite long also. So I hope that if, let's say, it's running this program and then everything will be in the pipeline, and then we'll be faster, of course, and more clear cut line. Because after announcement from the KDN, but we don't have the details for the operation yet.
Anthony, thank you so much for your time this morning and your insights. We were speaking with Anthony Liu, president of the MM2H Consultants Association. At some point that we asked him a question about the duration and he just sighed. And I think that in itself encapsulates this entire call, right? A lot of questions over why certain things have been done. What's the rationale behind this? And, you know, things like pushing those thresholds up. What's that going to do? Because we're trying to attract the high net worth individual. Are they really going to come here? Aren't they going to go to Singapore or some other country in the region? I really hope that they put some thought process and there's some analysis as to why these changes were made.
Yeah, so I'm trying to also understand, is the government's move based on the fact they just want to bring in more high-end professionals or high-income people? But also another thing is your existing pass holders, right? Why not just give them the exemption? They've been already here for, maybe a few years already in the country, so just let them be, right? Rather than raise that requirement for them, and some of them could genuinely be just stuck here because they've already completely moved here. They have no homes from where they came from.
It could also be that maybe they just haven't come up with that, those things, right? It's not uncommon for policies to be announced not fully baked in. So maybe more details will come out after this.
Yeah, and we were running a poll. We're still running a poll. You've got 15 minutes left to vote. We're asking you, do you think Malaysia is an attractive destination for foreigners' retirement? Tell us why. It's kind of evenly split. 43% of you say yes, we are attractive. 46% say no, and 11% say not sure. And I think one of the responses from Ayman Abdullah, he pointed out that the revision to the MM2H requirements could make Malaysia a less attractive choice for retiring foreigners.
Yeah, and in fact, I do want to point out that when we started the poll within the first hour, the yes votes were quite strongly in the lead, but that seems to have flipped now. Like Shahzana said, there are 13 minutes left on this poll left, so be sure to get your voice heard here on the BFM Twitter poll that we run every single day. Keep it here to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.